It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
The police and protesters basically had a deal. If things stayed peaceful, the police said they could stay out past midnight. And mostly, that deal was kept. Take a look at the video, though, of what the protesters were encountering, who the police had backing them up, that being the North Carolina National Guard, or also North Carolina State Troopers out in force, riot police as well, in case things got out of hand. The crowd was boisterous. They marched a lot. They chanted a lot. Two police officers were sprayed with some type of pepper spray or something like that. It doesn't sound like they were seriously hurt. One of the chants we kept hearing over and over again was release the tape, referring to the tape of Keith Scott's shooting by police. There was dash cam video that his family viewed, and they said that they found the video inconclusive. They couldn't figure out what, if anything, he had in his hand. The police say, based on witness accounts and their own photographs, they're confident he had a gun.
What I can tell you is the video is, as I said before, not the most definitive piece of evidence we would have hoped for. As I said, you can't really see what's in his hands. And as I said before, you cannot see him making a gesture like pointing the gun, which would be much more definitive.
Three big challenges facing this city going forward. One, what happens when that tape is released? Are there more protests? Two, the economic implications. Clearly, the video over the past couple of days is not exactly a Chamber of Commerce ad. And three, the political implications. This has certainly brought racial tensions all the way at times to their breaking point, now less than 50 days from election in a critical swing state.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That was the report from Fox and Friends First this morning. So Charlotte has quieted down just a little bit. And thank God for that, because, oh my goodness, the reports are just hair-raising. The things that we're seeing, you know, they tried to throw a photographer, I believe it was an NBC News photographer, in a fire. I don't know if you saw the video of a white man being dragged by a black mob in a parking garage while he's screaming for, they're beating him, and he's screaming for mercy. That's upsetting. And, of course, on the other side of it, we have a lot of people doing some really noble things. We have a lot of pastors going right into the fray, talking to people. There's a video of I don't think he's a pastor. He sounds like one, but if he is, I don't know about it. There was a video this morning on The Blaze of a young, probably 30s, in his 30s, black man going up to police. And this may sound trite, but it isn't. It isn't. I actually was very moved by this video. He was hugging a very big white policeman, and then a young black policeman came over and he hugged him. And you could see the policeman's men. You could see their faces as he was doing that. And he turned to the mob, and they turned on him, because why was he doing that? They were angry with him for doing that. And then he turns on them and he says, "You see this policeman? He's a man. He has a uniform on. But just because he's a policeman, did he shoot anybody? He's a man. When he takes his uniform off, he goes home. He takes care of his family. He should not be. You should see the uniform. And you're mad because you say they just see you as black. And they jump to conclusions, and you're doing the same thing." And he goes on and on. It's actually, he calms people down. It takes a very long time, but there are people there on the ground doing everything they can to calm things down. And it seems like perhaps, maybe, God willing, things have calmed down a little bit. We know that the video, the parents of the slain gentleman in the car who, you know, protesters are saying he was reading a book waiting for his son at school, and that's obviously just not true. They found a gun at the scene. The black officer that shot him is saying, and so are the others around him, that he had a gun. And he got out of the car with the gun, and that's why he was shot. And so, but now the protesters are wanting the video release. I don't know what's going to happen with that. I was so impressed with the police chief of Charlotte, Kerr Putney. He was on with Megyn Kelly last night. And just to give you a flavor, you heard a little bit of it in the clip a second ago, but just listen to him.
The video is, as I said before, not the most definitive piece of evidence we would have hoped for. As I said, you can't really see what's in his hands. And as I said before, it is you cannot see him making a gesture like pointing the gun, which would be much more definitive. But the officer perceives, based on everything that I've said before, his failure to comply with commands, failure to drop the weapon, and then him turning to face the officers as an imminent threat. And that is what caused everything else to transpire. There's a lot of other evidence that I can't speak to. The State Bureau of Investigations, an independent investigative body, has taken over. I can't really speak to the investigation much further, but there's a lot of other evidence that gives us a great deal of support and comfort that the version that you heard from us before is supported by the evidence and all the statements that we were able to gather. And the totality of the circumstances lead us to believe that that version is still very much accurate.
Did you?
I'm going to be quite frank with you. There are times in my past that I had a similar perspective. I was not somebody who always liked police officers. I was on the other end of the spectrum, didn't care for them very much at all. But now that I've become one, and I'm telling you, we're always looking for good people. So anybody who really wants to contribute to the solution can join us. We're always looking to diversify our ranks. But what I can tell you is my experience of taking an oath and serving something greater than myself and making a sacrifice like our heroes out here are making tonight. It gave me a different perspective. It gave me a balanced perspective. And that's the perspective I'm using as I make decisions that I think are going to enhance the safety of our citizens and community members here in Charlotte.
Chief of Police for Charlotte, Kerr Putney. And I could tell Megyn was really taken back by, he said a lot more things, his character. And has this not taught us, is it not teaching us that good and evil have nothing to do with skin color, with uniform, with community, nothing. There are really good white policemen, and there are really evil white policemen. There are really good black men and women, and there are really evil black men and women. You know, that's what the scripture tells us, that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. It's the heart of men that caused this kind of wickedness, and it isn't anything to do with skin color. And I just hope and pray that through all of this, we can all begin to think clearly and identify the fact that all of us who want to pursue righteousness have enemies and people that want to do evil. And that's what justice is all about. It isn't about color. It's about making what's wrong right in every instance, irregardless. You know, we have a situation in Oklahoma where the woman policeman has now been charged with murder. We don't know as many of the details about that. It was a black man. She shot him. She said that he was reaching inside the car for a gun. The family says no, the car window was up. So we don't know the details of that, but she's now been charged with murder. So, you know, lives are being destroyed through this process. And it can't be a happy thought for any of us. I just watched my husband and took me to Romeo and Juliet in the downtown D.C. at the Shakespeare Theater over the weekend because it was we have the same birthday, which is kind of fun. But the traditional story of that, of course, is this hatred between these two families and how they, you know, they have killed each other through the years and they've built up such hatred. And finally, it's through the loss of their two youngest, most precious family members who end their lives in suicide that they finally reconcile. And so we don't want to have to pay that kind of a price, do we? Can we not, as Americans and certainly as followers of Jesus, find a way through this and teach others and lead them along as we go? Lots of things. You know, it's interesting to me that Charlotte, of course, is the center of the bathroom controversy. You know, it is that the mayor of Charlotte you've seen in these videos in the last days of all of these the riots and all the thing, the trouble in Charlotte. Charlotte Mayor Jennifer Roberts is the one who started the whole bathroom controversy. She's very tied into the human rights campaign. I don't know why. You fill in the blank. And so they passed this radical law in Charlotte, which opened up their changing rooms, their bathrooms, and even in private businesses to people of all genders. That's how this started. So then the legislature in North Carolina passed this HB2, which said no bathrooms in North Carolina. People must go to the bathroom that comports with their gender at birth. And so thus the war has, you know, broken out, and we all know what's going on. North Carolina is losing tons of money. The NCAA and the other tournaments being removed. It's costing them millions of dollars. Pat McCrory, the governor, is standing strong, but he's up for re-election. And he seems to me to be a very good man, a man motivated by principle. And how few are they? How few are there? All right, so they tried to reach a compromise. Here they've got all these riots going on in the street. And you've got this mayor, Jennifer Roberts, who's dealing with this stuff in the streets. And in the midst of all of this, the governor, Pat McCrory, offers her a compromise. He said, if you will drop Charlotte's radical bathroom policy, he didn't say radical, that's my words, if you will drop that and return Charlotte back to where it was before this policy, we will go back to the legislature and repeal HB2. We'll just go back to the way things were in North Carolina. And would you believe, she stood at a press conference surrounded by the Human Rights Campaign, which is the largest funded lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender advocacy lobbying group in the country. They stood behind her and she refused it. So here they are going through all this turmoil and still, you know, but we have to open up the bathrooms to, anybody could go into any bathroom. To heck with little girls and women, little boys. To heck with the dangers we're seeing across the country as perverted sexual folk are going in and taking advantage of this. And that's, you know, that's straight and gay. It doesn't seem to matter. Seems like, you know, they're all eager to take advantage of it. Those that are, you know, have a propensity to do that, it's just a gate opened wide for them and they're stepping in. Doesn't matter. So, and I also then find it ironic, you know, I just find this really ironic. It seems like everything is converging. The debate is Monday night. And by the way, they're expecting over 100 million viewers of this debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. So it's taking place during Monday Night Football. And, okay, so I might have this part wrong because I didn't get to ask my husband and I didn't get to check, so you can correct me. But I believe that one of the big games on Monday night is supposed to be in Charlotte. So there's discussion of whether, you know, the game should be moved out of Charlotte. But here's Charlotte, the center of all these riots, and here's the NFL then weighing in on another issue, the Black Lives Matter, Colin Kaepernick, who wears socks that say, you know, cops are pigs, being defended by the NFL commissioner. You have people boycotting the NFL and maybe boycotting Monday Night Football. And then initially, Donald Trump was upset with the debate commission because they scheduled the debate on the first night of, or the big night of Monday Night Football. I just think it's really interesting. Is this not a conversion of all kinds of things? So are people going to, you know, are men going to like not watch the NFL football and instead, you know, watch Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton debate? Is that going to actually help them to listen? What are men going to do on Monday night at NFL football? And is it going to be moved from Charlotte? And it's just the ironies abound and bump into each other. And it's just an amazing set of circumstances. This is Friday. I have other things to tell you, but let's talk. I want to talk to you. I have your email on Facebook. I'm going to open the phone lines. It's 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. I would really be interested to know if how men are feeling about, well, women too. Those of you that are committed to watching football and the NFL, I'm just curious to know what you're going to do. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your healthcare with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger, a group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org, healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
In C.S. Lewis' book, The Great Divorce, the ghost of a man is invited to move from hell to heaven. He refused the offer and insisted on his rights. I've led a good life. I'm not asking for anybody's charity, he said. Don't you understand, said the person inviting, everything here is charity. It really is, you know. That's called grace. And listen, it's free. If it's not, nobody has a prayer. They laugh and they say, cheap grace, cheap grace. Let me tell you something. If it isn't, you can't afford it. I'm Steve Brown. You think about that. Share what you just heard with a friend. Go to youthinkaboutthat.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Truett McConnell University is training students to love the Lord, love the Word, love the Church, and love the lost. Scripture is the foundation for everything they do. It's who they are, preparing students not just for career, but to fulfill God's high calling on their lives. Truett McConnell University offers a wide array of bachelor's programs, some online, and they also have an outstanding Master of Arts in Theology. So if you'd like to schedule a visit to Truett's campus in the North Georgia Mountains, visit truett.edu. City leaders in Charlotte, North Carolina, say there is no need for a curfew. They believe they have a handle on the rampaging mob that has basically laid siege to the city, pillaging and plundering and committing horrific acts of violence. Video posted on FoxNews.com, purportedly filmed during the riots, shows a disturbing scene. A man trapped by thugs on his knees, hands in the air, pleading for his life. There are no words to describe the horror that man must have experienced. Alone, isolated, surrounded by a pack of wild thugs, pummeled, stripped of his clothes. Who speaks for that man? Who speaks for the white man beaten by the black mob? President Obama? Attorney General Lynch? Al Sharpton? Who speaks for that man? Because the way I see it, nobody is. And that's not right. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
The Republican chairman of the House Intelligence Committee says he's prepared to take what may be unprecedented action to get the remaining bin Laden documents from the nation's top military and intelligence officials.
If they don't provide these documents to the committee by October 11th, then we're going to have to subpoena them, which I don't want to have to do, but it appears like we've run out of all options. For the administration to basically mislead the American people for this many years is flat out wrong.
In the letter to the Director of National Intelligence, the CIA Director, and the Defense Department Undersecretary for Intelligence, Congressman Nunez says the law required them to comply nearly 2 years ago. During the 2011 raid, Navy SEALs recovered enough intelligence to fill a small college library, but only a fraction is public. While the administration characterized bin Laden as isolated with a terror network in disarray, subsequent reviews by the CIA military analysts at CENTCOM in Florida apparently suggest the al-Qaeda leader was deeply engaged with a plan to globalize his network. The White House spokesman today refuted criticism. The documents are being slow-rolled because of conflicting narratives.
No, because that's not the criteria that's being used to evaluate the release of this information. Again, I guess you just have to ask the ODNI for an update on the status of that declassification effort.
A spokesman for the Director of National Intelligence said they would respond directly to that House committee.
That's Catherine Herridge, and I threw that clip in. There's so much news this morning, so just bear with me, because I want to tell you a few things that don't seem connected, but I feel like I want you to know, and I don't have time to maybe connect it as smoothly as I'd like to. That's a huge story that Catherine just told last night, and it all goes back partly to the CIA operations, and that reminds me of a story from yesterday from CNN. John Brennan was speaking to the Black Caucus. Who's John Brennan? Well, he's the head of the CIA. And he told the Black Caucus, and I guess he actually thought this was sort of funny, that during his first polygraph test, when he was trying to enter the CIA, he was very nervous because you're asked a question about whether you've ever worked for a foreign group or a group that's dedicated to overthrowing the United States. And he was nervous because in 1980, he voted for the communist candidate. 1980. And he said, but you know what? It didn't affect it at all. I passed. And the message to the Black Caucus was, don't worry about what's in your past. You know, you can get a federal job. You can work in intelligence. Look, if the CIA director can get away with, voting for a communist candidate, then you don't have anything to worry about. Director of the CIA, John Brennan, who's overseeing things like what Catherine just reported, the bin Laden records. It is unbelievable. And I have a few other things. George Soros is spending something like $500 million to bring in more refugees. George Soros, the globalist, atheist, naturalized American citizen who funds all things anti-American, now is trying to bring in more citizens. And also, there's a campaign now, it's called an October Surprise. They're trying to mobilize 8 million global citizens to vote for Hillary Clinton. And what they're doing is they're starting it in London, and they're being funded by George Soros. His name is almost in every article, I have to say. And it is to make sure that they register the 8 million American voters who are living worldwide and get them to vote by send their votes in, 8 million voters, so that they can pull the election off, you know, for who. And then, of course, we heard that a lot of people were given citizenship. We heard, I think, 800-something a couple of days ago. Well, now we know it's much greater than that. And then we also know that an email was released or revealed. Senator Ron Johnson and Senator Charles Grassley in a hearing and a letter to the Department of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson, pointed out that there's an internal memo that shows that, immigration officials may be literally working overtime to swear in as many new citizen voters as possible before the November 8th presidential election. And I could read you the email, but just trust me, that's what it says. And of course, that's what Bill Clinton did when he ran for office in 1996. I remember I was in Chicago. They brought in thousands of people into Soldier Field, rushed them in, and would have these huge, massive swearing-in ceremonies before the November election. So nothing to see here, you know, just business as usual with our director of Central CIA having voted for a communist in 1980 and laughing about it. There's just nothing to see. And how dare I jump to any conclusions, right, about anything? And then one last piece of big bad news before I go to the phones. We'll put this on our Facebook page because I want you to be able to see it. Senate Republicans caved on everything in the budget by Daniel Horowitz. Whenever you think Republicans have finally reached peak capitulation, they never fail to raise the scope of their betrayal. The result of the upcoming continuing resolution, which is going to fund the government, by the way, just into December, so that now they can have what's called a lame duck session, which means after the election, when nobody's accountable, at least not some of them are not accountable, they're going to vote on terrible things. So they could have funded the government and waited till a new Congress and a new president took office. But no, not going to do that. They scheduled it to be expired in December so that they can rush to pass a huge omnibus bill and all the little pet projects that they want. And it's all for the most part, it's the Democrats. But it isn't. I mean, the Republicans are getting some stuff, too. You can believe it, or they wouldn't be so willing to cooperate. But here it is. Let's see. The result of the upcoming continuing resolution, which just passed out of the Senate, likely to receive a vote early next week, is that control over the internet will head to Russia and China. While 110,000 refugees from places such as Syria, Iraq, and Somalia will be immigrating here in the upcoming fiscal year, it is truly sad that Republicans wouldn't even fight on something as important and easy to sell as retaining control over internet domains. This is a fight Democrats could never have won, but winning is not the lexicon in the lexicon of Senate Republicans. It is simply unconscionable that Republicans would ignore the refugee issue entirely in light of the national focus on the recent terror attack perpetrated by children of refugees and asylees. The spending bill also contains an additional $1.1 billion in funding for Zika, even though there is $2.8 billion in leftover Ebola funds that haven't been spent. And of course, Republicans dropped the rider blocking Zika funding to the Planned Parenthood affiliate in Puerto Rico. They dropped the rider blocking that. They dropped the rider blocking the funding to Planned Parenthood. And so, you know, and oh, so much more. So they caved on everything. On the internet, which is supposed to be handed over October 1st, on the refugees, on everything. Because, you see, the Democrats might shut down the government. They'd rather fund Planned Parenthood. They'd rather fund bringing in unvetted refugees who are now, you know, attacking us, those that are Islamic and unvetted, killing Americans. And they'd rather do that than, you know, shut down the government, because that might mean that they might not be elected. And that would be much worse, right? That would be much worse. All right. I told you I had stuff to tell you. We'll put that article by... And by the way, Americans for Limited Government, our friend Rick Manning, is asking us to call Congress on the internet issue, and I think that's a good idea. It hasn't, the House has not, they haven't finished it. It's just going to be voted on next week, and it'd probably be a good idea for us to tell them what we think. The number is 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. I think we keep that number at the top of our Facebook page so that you don't have to look it up every time, but... We're going to put this article, Senate Republicans caved on everything in the budget. And then I think we should add this Americans for Limited Government piece that Rick Manning has written. Republican leaders have surrendered the internet. And so we'll put that on, and then you can see for yourself and you can share it, because I know it's hard to remember all of the things that I'm talking about every morning. It's not easy. All right, by the way, just to correct myself, I realize now that the NFL game I was referring to, the Carolina Panthers and the Minnesota Vikings, is Sunday, not Monday night football. Just so you know that I know. All right. Here, the phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's go to Shirley. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm good, Shirley. Thanks a lot for asking.
Praise God. I wanted to say I had quit watching the NFL and NBA, for that matter, for a long time ago, because there have been spiritual problems in it for a long time, and it's like people have made that their God instead of the true and wise living God that we serve. And as far as all that's happening in the world with the internet takeover and everything, I just think that there are people say that there's nothing to consider in the series, but it sounds to me like they're dead spot on, and that there are people wanting to take over and throw us into a new world order and cause us to go into some sort of major crisis so that they can make their changes known, being the mark of the beast, et cetera. We just have to stand strong in Christ, and my prayers are for the police officer who's being prosecuted, probably so that they can save face or whatever is going on there, and for the people who suffered during those North Carolina riots, and that no matter what, the people of God will stand strong, and that the persons in North Carolina who are standing against these bathroom bills will stand strong.
Hey, no, Shirley.
Stand with Christ. He'll make us win.
Let me interrupt you just for a second, because I want to ask you something. You know, it seems to me, like in the issue of, we'll talk about that Oklahoma incident for a second. It's like Black Americans are all on edge, and some of the bad ones have been emboldened to really be disrespectful and to not listen to police when maybe normally they would have. And then white policemen are paranoid, scared to death, really, I think, of young Black men, maybe more than they ever were because of what's happened. They're afraid that they're going to do something wrong, so they're nervous wreck, knowing everything's being watched. And it's made it worse. It has aggravated the problem. I just don't know how we're going to, I can't imagine that white police woman in Oklahoma hates black men and wanted to kill him. I'm not saying white women are not capable of wanting to kill black men, but it just seems like a situation where, you know, she may have, we don't know what the details are, but she obviously, it looks like, because they did bring charges, there's reason to believe that he was not armed. He was not reaching for a gun. It is hard to believe that then she had intent to murder. Why would she do that in the current climate, you know? But they're just all on edge. Everybody's on edge, and it's making it worse. And I'd like to know what you think about that, Shirley.
I think that, number one, there are a segment of people in this society who are either Muslims and they're black, or they're Black Panthers, and they support Soros and his wickedness. They support a new world order because they want to drop this whole economy and government in the hands of Europe. They think they're going to be on top. But the Bible tells us they're going to end up enslaving themselves and dealing with the hell they create. And I also want to pray for our officers to stand strong, because as a black American myself, I am not on edge. I know in whom I believe. I know that God has given us the police. I know plenty of police who are red, yellow, black, and white who are wonderful. And in every job you have, there are some wicked people. If they want to go against the police, they need to hit every job then and go against all the people. But they don't care for that because they can't take over a society by getting rid of themselves out of the high-powered offices that they're holding, many of them, and supporting this type of thing. So I want to encourage our policemen to stand strong, let them know that it's not all the blacks who are on edge. It's when these people come into your towns and cities, I think that what's going to end up happening is, it's very strange that 800 of them just showed up in Charlotte to riot, and nobody knew, and that's very strange to me. So I think that the time is now for us as black Americans to stand up and say, we're not going to be a part of this, and we are. We're speaking out. It's just that we don't get media coverage. But we're not going to be a part of hatred. We're not going to be a part of dissension and wickedness. We're going to be a part of Christ's kingdom, and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those who are not redeemed, they're going to go ahead and do the wickedness that they're doing. But those of us who really are redeemed and are in the church and love the Lord and following his word, we already know that it's our job to fight to the end, speak out, and let people know that if you love Jesus, you're not out there rioting, looting, killing, threatening people. Those are the works of Satan, to kill, steal, and destroy. We don't do the works of Satan. We do the works of Christ if we love the Lord. And not everybody will Jesus take into his kingdom. He already said that. So these people don't surprise me that they're out there, because they're none of his anyway. Yep. Anybody who is misguided and fooled into thinking that they're his by going out here and joining these people are showing that they are not on the side of Christ. And I don't care what they say. God said he has order. He's the God of rules and orders, and our police officers have helped us keep that through the years. Yes, there have been some bad ones. There are a whole lot of good ones. And for the persons to stand up and say all white policemen are devils and evil, that's because they're devils and evil, and they want to bring dissension. And what does the Bible say? If people want to prove whether they're on Satan's side or God, then look and see what the Bible said. The Bible said if your purpose is to steal, to kill, or destroy other folks' stuff, steal it, kill, hurt, hate people, hatred in your heart for folks that you don't even know, you are none of God's person, and you will end up in hell.
So all right, Shirley, thank you. We're the bumper's playing, so I have to let you go. But honestly, I always enjoy talking to you. And it's obvious that you spend a lot of time in the Word, and it's part of your speech, and that's the way it should be. I love it. It washes over all of us. So thank you for that and for your perspective. All right, when we come back, we've got lots of other people to talk to. We're going to do that. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. For those of you down in Richmond, there is a rally tomorrow with Dave Bratt and Congresswoman Blackburn at the Doubletree Hotel at 3:30. On Kroger Center Boulevard. So Dave was our guest yesterday. I wanted to remind you. All right, Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Every election is important, but this year's is critical. The very survival of our republic is at stake. This is Tony Perkins, and I want to urge you to be a part of securing America's future by selecting godly leaders. As Americans, we have the right to vote. As Christians, we have an obligation to vote, preferring leaders who will stand on biblical principles. If we want our nation to once again be a beacon of hope to the world, Christians must take time to vote. Christians vote, so plan now to vote your biblical value.
College students often face a serious test of their faith on campus. Hear Alistair Begg present biblical wisdom and direction as he concludes the series Lessons for Life. And then we'll discover what it means to live a good life. Listen weekdays to Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR Talk and online at AFR.net.
On the first day of our tour of Israel, we will stand on the Mount of Olives and look out over the old city of Jerusalem. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. March 9 through 17, we'll be going to Israel, the Holy Land. This is 2017, of course. We'll be flying from New York City, JFK Airport, direct to Tel Aviv, and then we'll begin our 9-day tour of Israel, including Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Jericho, Tiberias, Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and all the places you've read about since you were a child in the Bible. For more information on this tour, you can order a brochure by calling us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5. Also, you can visit the website twholyland.com.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Hello, people! This is a wake-up call. It's not every day you can make a real difference in the national security and your personal freedom. This is one of those days. A week from tomorrow, unless Congress acts now, President Obama will take one of the most profound and irreversible of all his measures intended to fundamentally transform the United States. America created the internet and has kept it free ever since. Obama wants to turn over its functional control to so-called international stakeholders, which in practice means Russia, China, Saudi Arabia, and Iran. Once enemies of freedom control the internet, it will cease to be the engine for the exchange of information and innovation we have helped it become. And we will never get it back. Please, tell your senators and representative, keep the internet free. Do it today. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Hi, welcome to another edition of Between Two Ferns. I'm your host, Zach Galifianakis, and my guest today is Hillary Clinton. As secretary, how many words per minute could you type? And how does President Obama like his coffee? Like himself? Weak?
You know, Zach, those are really out-of-date questions. You need to get out more.
What happens if you become pregnant? Are we going to be stuck with Tim Kaine for 9 months? How does this work?
I could send you some pamphlets that might help you understand.
First, you supported Obama's Trans-Pacific Partnership deal, and then you were against it. I think that people deserve to know. Are you down with TPP?
I'm not down with TPP.
No, you're supposed to say, yeah, you know me. Like the hip-hop group.
Don't tell me what to say.
I'd love to meet the person who makes your pantsuits.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because for Halloween, I wanted to go as a librarian from outer space.
I think that would be a good look on you.
Well, this has been a lot of fun, Mrs. Clinton. We should stay in touch. What's the best way to reach you? Email?
You've got mail.
All right, that is an unbelievable video that's gone viral. It's, I don't know, Zach Galifianakis. I guess it's, I guess a lot of you do. He has this little program called Between Two Ferns on the internet, and Mrs. Clinton actually was on it, and she, yeah, well, you heard it. I mean, it sounds like he's making fun of her. There was a time, you know, when presidential candidates and presidents wouldn't do things quite so demeaning, but boy, that's all over. It's there's just no dignity anywhere. But anyway, Sandy Rios back with you, and I'm going to go to the phones in just a second, but I want to share just a couple of email that I've received on Facebook. This is from John. John, I talked about briefly last week about the whole, I was wondering aloud if the pendulum swinging toward Calvinism, meaning that God is sovereign in all things, that he chooses everything, he causes everything to happen, he determines everything and determined it before the beginning of the world, and also the obvious and conclusion that we actually have very little to do with God's sovereignty. I don't embrace that. I don't. I think that we have a great amount of choice. I think the scripture teaches both things. So I talked about that, and I talked about the fact that I'm wondering if this sort of pendulum swinging toward the Calvinistic view on things, that God is sovereign and controlling every single thing predetermined, has caused American Christians to just say, well, what if God chooses? I'm not going to vote because it's God's business. If he wants fill in the blank A or B to win, then he'll make that happen. I hear that, and that's what I was musing about that. So John writes me, he said, I read your American history. During the Revolutionary War, there were Presbyterian pastors who led their male congregation members into battle. Indeed, the King of England blamed the Revolution on the American Presbyterians. You absolutely cannot blame Calvinism. And then he goes on to talk about we have a far bigger problem. He talks about evolution. He says Calvinism is actually well supported in Scripture, much more so than free will, which is free will is the opposite sort of that's our colloquial interpretation of the fact that we have a choice in how we behave and whether we come to Christ or not. There are two viewpoints, and so John thinks that I've made too much out of this, and he's not happy about that. Although he's very respectful, he's Presbyterian, and I would just say, absolutely, John, I agree that evolution is a much greater problem. But I think it's not a question of something being antithetical to teaching a scripture, which is that God is the creator, the Alpha, the Omega, that Jesus was present at the foundations of the world, and they created everything together. So evolution is undermining and just a wrong. It's a theory, and it's been proven false. And you're right. It's terrible. But here's the thing. I think the question of Calvinism and Arminianism, or you called free will, is just one of interpretation. So it's not like Calvinism is not biblical, and it's not like Arminianism is not biblical. They're both. You can make the case for both in Scripture. It's a matter of degree. And that's the point that I'd like to make. I think the pendulum has swung too far in the Calvinism direction. Of course, I believe God is sovereign. Of course, I believe that he is in control of everything. But I'll just interject these few things. The reason I believe that you and I must not just say, oh, well, whatever God wants to happen is going to happen, is because God himself, well, here, let me read John's phrase. He said, if in our sin we would never choose God, but only more sin. I'm not sure about that, John, because remember that the famous Old Testament situation where Joshua said, God said, choose this day who you will serve. Joshua did. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. They were all sinning. They were in a mess, and they chose to serve. And that God says in Scripture, whosoever will may come. Whosoever. And that he sent his son into the world so that all could be saved, and that he's not willing that any should perish and that all should come to repentance. These are the problems that I have with the teaching that God has picked, you know, A, B, C, D, and E, John, Mary, George, and Pete, and not the others, and you don't really have a choice. I don't believe that's true. I know that, and I think that belief that God is controlling, like like pawns, our choices, because he knows, he foreordained it, he picked us personally, then we have no choice, and we have no choice in what's happening in our culture. And so what the heck, why should we do anything? That's really what I'm saying, and I hold to that. I do think that's infected our thinking and caused us not to fight in the way that I think we should fight. I have, I know that, another friend, and I'm not, it's not that I'm not a Calvinist, I'm a mix, there's no question about it. I believe God is sovereign, I trust him. Oh my goodness, I trust him with everything, I've had to. But Ryan comments, and he says that we want to regulate behavior through law. Government won't make us good. Government won't make us act right. It's the underpinning of the gospel. And you're absolutely right about that, Ryan. But also remember that Paul said that the law is the teacher leading men to God. Sometimes we lead men to the knowledge of God and to good and evil through establishing righteous laws. I know I'm talking about something way too complex, way too quickly, but I did want to respond to that because I did throw that out last week. All right, let me get back to the phones. Let's go to Ohio and talk to Scott. Good morning, Scott.
Hi, good morning. First of all, I want to say, preach it, Shirley.
That the truth? She's great.
Yeah, that was amazing. Anyway, I wanted to respond on the NFL versus the debate on Monday.
Yes.
I love football. I love the NFL. At least I used to. But I'm not going to watch it. I'm going to watch the debate. I believe that's more important to our country. I didn't serve, but I worked with some veterans. And when you bring that subject up, you just see the total disrespect, you know, that they feel for serving their country, and then have a bunch of spoiled brats do what they're doing. It's just, it's unreal to me. And I do believe it's intertwined because, you know, the Democrats and all, they want you to watch the left hand so you don't see what the right hand's doing.
Yeah. Scott, are you going to, what are you going to do after this, Monday night's going against the debate, but then NFL season starts and boy, what are you going to do? Is there anything that you're going to change in your own personal support of the NFL and watching the games and all that?
Oh, absolutely. I'm done with it. I mean, I can still watch high school football or still watch college. Because I still love the sport, but I'm done with the NFL. I'll just take that time to read my Bible.
Okay. All right, Scott. All right. Thanks. Thank you for your comments. Let's go to Texas and talk to Claire. Hey, Claire, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Miss Sandy. I am so thankful for the opportunity. I just want to say three brief things, and then I'm going to get off our radio and listen. Number one, we have a beehive of traitors in Washington. Number two, when we vote, please do not throw away the little number that you're supposed to log on to register for the voting. Everybody votes, throws it away. That's who you are in the system. And if Trump has to fight for his presidency, we're going to need that number because that's what identifies you.
Oh, that's interesting, Claire. Are you a poll watcher, or how do you know this?
Because I volunteer every year through the different elections. And I don't understand why. I keep mine always because if there's a challenge, that's who I am in that system. So I can take a copy of my driver's license and a copy of that ticket and mail it to the candidate so he can use it to fight.
Yeah. All right, Claire. Good word. Thank you so much. You know, I had a question from Micah on Facebook, and he said, because I was pretty upset about a lot of things last week. I really was. It's like, why aren't we fighting? What's happened to American Christians that they have no passion? And what will it take? And that's kind of where I was going with all that. Micah said, Sandy, we don't know what to do. I want to stand up and fight, but how? Every time I read an article about some outlandish evil happening right under our noses, I ask, why isn't there a solution? I personally don't know what to do. I have ideas, but I don't know how to start. The economy is bad. And he goes on and on. He says, we go to work, we work hard, and we just don't know what to do. Give us resources. And of course, I'm paraphrasing. Roland wrote in, and he gave actually some very good, I'll read Roland's suggestions. He said he thinks the cause for inaction is that Christians are biblically illiterate. And Christians with weak faith fear man more than God. So they go along to get along. And he said, normal Christians who Jesus said draw near with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And he went on with some other suggestions, which I thought I had in front of me, but I don't. Here it is. I think Roland is right. I'll say it in my own way. This is what I think we should do. I think, first of all, we come before the Lord personally, because this is a personal thing, isn't it? It starts with us. We ask God to forgive us and cleanse us, and we renew our relationship, and we walk in righteousness. And when we enter into holy living, we are more plugged into God. We hear his voice more clearly, and he makes things more plain to us. And then in terms of, now some that wrote me this morning don't think that we do need to do these things, he would agree, but then in terms of activism, no. But see, I disagree, because I think we're called to be salt and light. And out of personal holy living, we go out and we be salt and light. And how do you do that? Well, you can't tackle every issue. You certainly, like I try to do every morning, I try sometimes to do too much. I confess to you that's true. You pick one thing. What's happening in your community? What's happening in your school board? What's happening? Something, and I often find too that God will lay something on your heart that particularly wounds, it's personal to you, you have some expertise, some understanding, and just do one thing. Just pick out one thing and do that. And that's where you start. But not neglecting your personal relationship with Christ, your communion with him, and holy living. And I mean, I think one temptation when you get involved politically is that you leave that aside and then the stuff becomes the stuff, and it's not. I mean, these guys are right about that. The political part, the activism, the voting, all of that is not the thing. It's a fruit of the main thing, which is that relationship and that wanting to seek righteousness and justice. It's what God plants in our hearts, but always walking in him. So that's what you do. All right, let me go to Wade in Iowa. Good morning, Wade.
Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning. You have to turn off your radio, Wade, and talk to me.
My radio's off, and so my truck is kind of loud.
Okay.
I just want to let you know how much you encourage me, and for all of the things that you stand for, it's really made a difference in all of my family's life and some of my friends. And just wanted to comment real quick about, I'm not going to be watching the game. I will be watching the debate, but I have a real different view on the NFL for all of this that's happened, and don't really watch it as much as I was. But just one other quick thing, you know, I know a pastor, and he says that, you know, you shouldn't vote for the lesser of two evils, you know. But the only problem that I have with that is, you know, I think about all of the men that signed the Declaration of Independence and what they were going through at that time in their life, and when they were all in that room and they knew what was on the line and they knew what was what could happen for the signing and for all that they were trying to do for America. And I have such a hard time not voting for Donald Trump, because I cannot, knowing what all of those men went through and all of their families, that, you know, I cannot turn this nation over to Hillary and to all of the things that she stands for and all of those that she would appoint to the Supreme Court. And so I just encourage everyone that we have to go vote, and we have to do, we got to do what we got to do to save our country.
Yeah, Wade, I got to cut you off, but I agree with you. And I always think, I can't find a scripture for this, but the hard thing is often the right thing to do. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.